Good morning. Happy Father's Day. Just want to say happy Father's Day to all the dads in the room today. Amen. Well, that was kind of not really the greatest amen ever, but amen for the dads. We got a special gift for all the dads that are here today, so on your way out today, make sure you grab one of those. I want to make a public service announcement next Sunday. If you're reading along with us, we've been studying the book of Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, and we're going to be doing that through the balance of this year. And for the parents in the room, I just want to let you know we're going to be talking about lust and sexuality. And if you want your kids in here for that, great. And if not, we're going to have special kids church for the kids next week, and Brandy's going to be setting all that up. Nothing that will be said in here that is said won't be biblical, and it won't be, we'll do our best not to be overly sensational in any of the topics that we're going to discuss next week. But it's in the Word of God, and we need to teach our children a robust view of biblical sexuality. Amen? And what the Word of God has to say about that, because God does speak to those issues. And then, I just want to say this real quick, is in a few weeks, you saw in our announcement video, we got Vacation Bible School coming up, and we're super thrilled and pumped and excited for a week of Vacation Bible School. And at the end of that week, which is July 3rd, on Sunday, we're going to have a barbecue, and we're going to bounce houses, and we're going to have a great day celebrating Vacation Bible School, and we're going to celebrate all that God did that week. Now, I know some of you like to go on vacation on 4th of July weekend, or you, better yet, use it as an excuse just not to come to church, right? Some do that, I'm just saying, and I'm a pastor, I'm going to step on a toe here too in just a moment, but here's the thing, I don't like traveling on the holidays. That's why I stay home for Christmas holiday, July 3rd, Labor Day weekend, because it's always packed whenever you go, wherever it is you want to go, right? It costs more, hotels are more, so just stay home, go to church, and we're going to feed you, right? And as good Baptists, I'd imagine you want to be here for that, and it's going to be a good weekend. I just want to teach our church that no matter whether or not it's a holiday weekend or not, there's no throwaway Sundays here at Southgate. We're going to come, we're going to worship, and we're going to lift up the King of Kings. Amen? All right, now, we're in Matthew chapter 5 today. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 21, you've heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. And first be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you be put into prison. And truly I say to you that you will never get out until you have paid every last penny. Now last week, we began a new series entitled City on a Hill. We discussed what it looks like for God to call us to be salt and light, to be a preserving agent in a decaying culture, and to be light in a dark world. And last week we discovered that religion without a relationship is nothing more than just a bunch of rules. In fact, the point that Jesus was trying to make in the verses preceding our text today is not that rules don't matter. Because some of you are like, I had someone come to me last week, man, cool, man. If God is good at forgiving and I'm good at being a sinner, then we have a good relationship there, right? Or we just think that like the rules don't matter. Hey, listen, rules matter. You know, if you ever seen the slogan for Outback, it's one of the only restaurants I go to that concerns me. They say, no rules, just right. I hope they have some rules, like wash your hands before you cook my steak. Amen? So, rules matter, but they're not what make us right with God. And they're not what make us holy. What matters to Jesus is the position of and the pursuit of our hearts. Jesus is more concerned about who we are than he is about what we do, because who we are impacts and affects and in turn translates into ultimately what we do. And what is it that rules our desires and drives our obedience? You see, ultimately we find is that transformation occurs in a living relationship with Jesus. And this is what sets us apart. This is what transforms us to be a people that are salt and light, to be a people that have an impact, to be a people that have influence in our world. And so what we find in our text today And what we are going to unfold over the next several weeks is that Jesus gives us seven areas of life. He gives us seven areas of life to live differently and to live with influence. And he begins with the topic of anger. He begins with the subject of anger. And I want to just say this from the outset. Anger is not always a sin. In fact, the way that we can kind of look at anger is this. We can look at it this way. When anger leads us to righteousness, it's not a sin. And there are some things in our world and in life that we should be angry about and ticked off about. Areas of sin, areas of injustice. Those are things that should disturb us, they should frustrate us, but they should move us to a place of righteousness. It should move us to a place of holiness. But when our anger leads us to a place of resentment, it's never a good sign that our anger is in the right place. And so our big idea today is this, is that when anger rules in your heart, it will ruin your life. When anger rules in your heart, it will ruin your life. Now, for me, anger is just one of those besetting sins. It is. I'm just upfront with you about this. Anger is one of those things that fleshes itself out in my life in a myriad of ways. In fact, it's one of those things that plays out in my life through frustrations and quick digs to those around me. This week, my wife and I, she had said something to me, and I felt like she kind of popped off at me. And listen, she is a saint. To be married to me for 22 years, she's going to have an extra space in heaven that's special. She's going to live in a high-rise penthouse. I'm getting in, and I'll probably live in some type of shanty, right? But I felt like she popped off at me at something, and so I, you know, in turn popped off at her and said something very hurtful. And I apologized that day because that night she came home, and I didn't even know she was as mad as she was. I thought she was going to cut me in my sleep, so I apologized, you know, because that's just how it is, you know, when you're married and you don't know sometimes. The world's crazy that we live in. And so I apologized to her on Friday. And then I apologized to her again on Saturday. And I got up this morning, read my Bible, and I went on my walk, and I was praying and talking to the Lord. And I just said, God, why did I say what I said? Why would I say something so hurtful to her? And he said, Jason, it's because you're angry with her, and you're angry. And he told me what I was angry about. And so I went to her this morning when I got back from my walk, and I sat down, and we held hands together. I said, I need to pray with you, and I need to tell you that I'm angry at you because of this. And she goes, I know. I said, well, aren't we spiritual? Aren't we walking with Jesus a little bit quicker than your husband, who's the pastor of the church? Jeez. So I said, look, I'm sorry. I am angry, and I know you know I'm angry, and I just want to confess this to you so I could, you know, be right with you. You see, anger is one of those things that it sneaks up on us. I didn't yell at her. You know, I didn't lay a hand on her, but I said something that was incredibly hurtful, and so I struggle with this. In fact, it's an ongoing battle in my life just to be at peace, because I get frustrated when things don't go the way that I want them. And even though my anger doesn't always lash out and I don't always say things, it's there, and most of the time I can control it outwardly, but on the inside, I'm furious, and I get frustrated, and listen to this, and I want you to note this today. It's those frustrations that often lead us to greater sin, and this is why Jesus is talking about anger, because we go to the low-hanging fruit, like, oh, you yelled at me, or oh, you said this to me, or oh, you did this, but we don't really go deep into the heart to figure out what drove me to be angry in the first place. And at the end of the day, my anger most often, while directed to my wife, which is a horizontal relationship, more often than not, my anger is vertical because I'm upset that God isn't doing a better job of making me happy and make my life comfortable the way that I want my life to be. So you might as well find yourself struggling to be at peace. We might find ourselves struggling to love those around us with all of their shortcomings and even their hurt. And it's understandable because there is some anger that is justified, but most of our anger, most of our frustration, most of our impatience, it's not. And that anger leads us to acting in ways that are contrary to the Word of God, and they're contrary to being the salt and light that God has called us to be as disciples of Jesus Christ. Now, anger may be a struggle for you this morning. It might play out in silent treatment or yelling or just being, this is my favorite, I love passive-aggressive people. When people say passive-aggressive things to me anymore, I just agree with them, you know? I had someone say to me a few years ago, they were like, you know, that was a really great sermon because you used the Bible this time. And they said that to me. I said, I know, I've been using the Apocrypha for years, man. That's good. I just went to the Gospels this time, right? And I just start agreeing with people that are passive-aggressive. It's beautiful. Or maybe you're just ticked off all the time, and in our culture, it's become accepted. I mean, look, man, watch the news. Everyone's mad. Everyone's angry. And then you watch sports talk show, and they get paid to be mad, right? They do. And then we wonder why we're angry all the time. Because we watch it because it's accepted and people get paid millions of dollars to do it. And deep down you know it's a struggle and you feel a lack of inner peace in your heart and you know it's a problem. And so what we find in the Bible is Jesus taught his disciples. He taught his disciples that we can live at peace with each other. And he taught that in order to be salt and light, we must consider how to live with an inner peace that impacts the relationships that are all around us, even when everyone else is acting angry and frustrated. So the next time that you're struggling to be at peace and anger seems to take over, Jesus gives us three principles or three thoughts today to help us overcome the anger that we find in our life. And it begins with understanding that anger is rooted in the heart. And we see this in verses 21 and 22 because he says, Jesus says, look, man, you've heard the commandment. He's talking about the Old Testament, the Pentateuch, the Ten Commandments, the Big Ten. He says, look, you've heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. That's what he's referring to in the text. And he says, well, look, I'm going to tell you something a little bit different. I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment, and whoever insults his brother will be liable to counsel, and whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. Jesus reminds his followers that anger is not an external issue, it's an internal issue. It's one that flows from and is produced from the heart. His concern primarily is with the heart of man, and that's what we've been discussing all year, because it's easy to say this morning that anger is circumstantial. We blame it on our kids, we blame it on our spouse, we blame it on our inept boss, right? We blame it on our coworkers and how inefficient they are at their job and how they make our life more difficult. And so we get angry when other people do unfair things to us or when unfair things happen in our life. In fact, it's common for us. We do this. We justify the sinful response to the uncertainty of life. And here's the thing. This is where Jesus is kind of digging into the heart. Jesus says in the text, he says, look, you heard before that it was said, you shall not murder. And then he goes on to say, but I say unto you, everyone who's angry with his brother, he's saying, look, man, the baseline for you is that you just don't kill somebody. I mean, isn't that pretty? That's a low bar, right? Come on, right? It's like waking up to say, like, well, you know, I didn't kill somebody today, so it was a good day, right? And Jesus is like, no. What Jesus is saying in our text is not that you murdered someone. Jesus' concern was how you treated them long before you ever got to the point of taking a life. Because Jesus is saying, that's the real you. That's the person, that's the heart that I'm after. Matthew 15, 19, Jesus would say later on in the Gospel of Matthew, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander. And in Luke, he said the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. My wife this week did not make me say what I said to her. I said what I said because of me. I said it because I was angry. I said it because I was discontent. I said it because I am not getting what I want in this moment. And so out of my hurt, out of my frustration, out of my lack of trust in God, I said something to her from a place of anger. And that is what God is dealing with in this text. You see, a heart that's transformed by the gospel is characterized by by love, not dominated by anger towards others. The metric isn't did you kill someone, that's external, but can you love them, that's internal. Can you love them unconditionally? This is such a powerful truth in our lives. As people reflecting God's character, and that's ultimately what we do as salt and light. This is what we do in a culture that's turned upside down, where anger celebrated. We step in with love and grace and kindness and forgiveness because we're not just interested in making sure that we don't kill anybody. Because there's a lot of sinful things that you can do that leads up to killing them. No. The question is, can we forgive? Can we love in spite of the injustices that happen to us by those that we love the most and those that we're closest to? Jesus can and wants to transform what's causing your anger and resentment. And we can shift from being angry. Listen to this. We can shift from being angry to showing affection to those that God has put in our lives. And so if we're going to overcome this issue of anger in our lives, we've got to recognize that it's not someone else's fault that I'm angry. It's not because of the circumstances that I'm in that I'm angry. My anger, first and foremost, is rooted in my own heart. And we have to recognize in verse 22 that not only is anger rooted in the heart, but that anger is reckless. It's reckless. Jesus states that those who are angry with others open themselves up to judgment. And those who insult, he even goes to a greater degree, those who insult bring upon themselves their own condemnation. And not only do they bring upon themselves their own condemnation, they actually show their true character. This type of sin is reckless and it ruins us in the end. Just read the text. He says, look, I say unto you, if you're angry with your brother, you'll be liable to judgment. If you insult your brother, you'll be liable to the council. You're gonna stand in judgment of how you treated other people. Then he says, look, he goes so far to say, I just want to read this to my kids every once in a while, right? When you call your brother or you call your sister a fool, you're going to hell. Like, that's not what that actually means, but I just want to tell them that to scare them so they don't talk mean to each other, right? But that's what he's saying. He says, look, if you call someone else a fool, you're revealing, listen to what he's saying, you're revealing the type of character that is contrary to someone who is a Christ follower. Christ followers do not live angry lives. Christ followers do not insult other people. Christ followers do not call other people's fools, because Christ followers have been gripped by the grace of God, the goodness of Jesus, and they know the gospel of the cross. And so there is no need for us to belittle, to be mean to, or to insult other people, because we too, first and foremost, are sinners that stand in the need of the grace of God. And so our hearts and our minds are shaped by the gospel. And so Jesus is saying in the text, he's like, man, look, I need you to understand the recklessness of anger. I need you to understand how damaging it is in our lives. And I don't think any of us want to be characterized by anger. None of us want to be known as the angry person. None of us want to be known as a person that's full of hatred. Yet for many of us, there are signs, and those signs are our responses all around us that we're not a person at peace. We don't know, and we have not experienced God's peace. Anger will destroy you. Anger will not only destroy you, it will destroy what you love. Anger is reckless because of the damage it does to our relationships, our friends, our family, our coworkers. Hebrews 12 says this, strive for peace. Strive for peace with everyone and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble. And listen to this word. And by it, many become defiled. Anger's reckless because you know what it does? It gives the enemy a foothold. It gives the enemy a foothold. If you understand the scripture, the Bible teaches us that we have an enemy. The Bible says in 1 Peter that the devil is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Now you may choose to accept or believe that or not, but you do so at your own peril. Because allowing anger to grow in your heart will disrupt and destroy relationships that you cherish. And we cannot allow Satan to allow hurt and pain to destroy those that we love. Please understand, I'm not talking about perpetual unrepentant sin. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about a husband that abuses his wife or a husband that assaults his wife or vice versa. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff, but I'm talking about the kind of anger the Garden variety, everyday stuff that we deal with in all of our relationships, not just in marriage. You see, the enemy does this. The enemy uses misunderstandings. He uses miscommunication. And yes, he even uses hurt and pain, legitimate hurt and pain, to destroy. But you know what I believe? And this is a good place for an amen. I believe that God's grace is greater than all of our sin. Amen? God's grace is greater than all of our sin. I mean, when you think about it this way, have you ever thought about how dangerous and reckless the anger is and how the devil just subtly gets a foothold in our life? I mean, you know, have you ever thought about how anger might lead to an adulterous relationship? You ever thought about how anger might cause you to lie to your boss? How anger might cause you to step over another employee and use them as a means to an end to get what you want because you feel unfairly treated and unjustly treated in your job? Man, anger grips our heart and causes us to do things that we would never do. So it gives the enemy a foothold, but it also destroys others around you. This is the two ways in which anger is reckless. Anger is not concerned about loving. It's not concerned about peace. And most often, it's a selfish frustration that I'm not getting what I think I deserve. And so many relationships are ruined by anger, and no one wants to spend time with a person who is angry. Unapproachable. And in this text, Jesus is saying, look, man, it's not about you not murdering someone. It's about who you are. It's about everything that happens long before an act of murder has ever occurred. You see, I don't want my sins. And it's Father's Day. Father's Day, I don't even like preaching on Father's Day if I'm just being quite frank and honest with you today. Most years I don't because it's a mixed bag for me. My dad, I grew up, my dad was verbally and physically abusive to my mom. And to this day, I struggle with authority and I struggle with trust and confidence with people and in my relationships, specifically those that are in authority over me. And I struggle with that. Because I saw my father who would get up and teach and then he'd go home and just abuse my mom and explode on the family. I don't want my sins to harm my wife. And they have at times. I don't want them to ruin my kids. And if I'm not careful, this is the power of anger. If I'm not careful, and if you're not careful, your anger and your sin will destroy their outlook on God. If we're not careful with that. And I'm not trying to be sensational this morning. I'm not trying to fearmonger anyone today, but I do know this as a truth. A heart ruled by anger will ruin the best things in your life. It'll ruin the good things that God has done for you. It'll ruin the best things in your life. And so I'm encouraging you this morning, if there is anger in your life, if you find yourself not at peace in your soul, and you know if you're not at peace in your soul, I mean, I'm here to encourage you today to find that peace in God. And here's the thought that Jesus kind of unpacks in verses 23 through 26, and that is this: anger must be repented of. Jesus clearly states in the remaining verses that reconciliation must occur before we come and worship God. Look at what he says. If you're offering your gift at the altar and you remember that your brother has something against you, now he's saying to like me, like this morning, I'm out on my walk, I'm talking to God, I'm trying to figure out why do I act like such a fool sometimes? And God says, look, this is why. This is what you did. And so before I could ever come in here today and worship and lift my hands and I could stand before you and with character and integrity speak to you about this very topic, I had to go to the one that I offended. And it's hard to do that because none of us like to admit like we were wrong, because in my mind I'm thinking, yeah, man, but she should just get on board with what I want. Right, amen? No amen. They don't amen that. No. That's not the unconditional love of Jesus Christ. No, man, that's the point. And the reality is that Jesus is saying, it's like, when you know you finished someone, you got to go. You got to go before you go, because if you do not do that, your worship will be hollow. It'll be empty when you're angry. And then he goes on and he teaches us that when we've offended someone, we go to them urgently. And it was important to Jesus that we live in harmony and love with one another and that we go and make things right with those that are the cause of our anger. And I've already mentioned this, but I'll say it again, but we live in a culture and a society of angry people. We live in a world where people are not at peace. Many of you sitting in this room today, you live with low-grade frustration. You're just mad all the time. You're just frustrated. You turn on the news, whether it's CNN, Fox, MSNBC, I don't know what your political bent is today, but you're just mad. You're mad that gas is expensive. You're mad that food's going up. You're mad that you can't move up in your job. You're mad that your wife is going to cook a green bean casserole again and all you want is a ribeye, right? The kids are mad at each other because the teachers won't listen to them and they won't put the grades in on time, and they're mad because they're giving too much homework, and on 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 we can go with our anger because we're just mad all the time. In fact, we end up criticizing and complaining about how things are not going the way that we expected. And on the inside, we're waiting to implode. We're waiting to explode. And Jesus is saying, look, if you're going to be my people, if you're going to be shaped for the kingdom, if your character is going to be molded by the gospel, you can either show compassion or you can be critical and complaining in your relationship with others. And as followers of Jesus, we must be a people whose hearts have been transformed by God's immeasurable and unending love. And before you go saying, well, I don't feel like I should do this, I'm going to tell you, Jesus set the greatest example of all time. Jesus was our example, and he was slighted, he was treated unfairly, and yet the most loving thing that he could do on the night of his betrayal, on the night of the denial of Peter, Jesus bent down and washed the dirty feet of the disciples. And then he had a meal with them. They would all scatter. They would all leave him, and he would stand alone and hang on a cross for the sins of the world. And Jesus laid down his life as a sacrifice for the ones who treated him unfairly. And now, this is what he's called us to do in our relationship with others. You say, man, that's crazy. No, man, it's not crazy. It's what God has called us to do. Man, that's difficult. Yeah, but it's not impossible. It's what God has called us to do. In fact, could you imagine the impact this type of love would have on a spouse, a parent, a child, on a friend, on a coworker, on a relationship? Could you imagine how Jesus wanted, could you imagine this morning being set free and being at peace? Could you imagine what that would feel like? To not be angry, to not be frustrated, to walk through life trusting God moment by moment, believing that he's sovereign over every minutia of our life. Wouldn't that be great? Can I say amen? Amen? Wouldn't it be great? Hey, man, I don't know who's going to be in the presidential office 2 years from now. I don't know what the price of gas is going to be in a month or 2 years from now. I do know one thing. That the Bible is true, and from Genesis to Revelation, we can believe what God has said, that one day Jesus is coming again, and I believe that the world that we live in today is unfolding, and we should be ready for the soon return of Jesus Christ, regardless of who's in the White House, regardless of how much gas is, and we, you and me, can stand in our world as salt and light and give the gospel and advance the kingdom of Jesus. Amen? And we could do that. That's what God is calling us to do. And so this morning, what would it be like for you? How different would your life be if it was characterized by peace? What if you got the anger rooted out of your heart and you could just unconditionally love others? You see, God has called us his people. We're a people that have been transformed, living as salt and light, saying to someone who hurt and betrayed and caused you pain will be one of the most difficult things that you do in your life, but it's also the most like Jesus. In the last two verses, 25 and 26, the teaching is basic and unmistakable. He says in our text today, we make every effort with no delay to make our relationship right with our brother before our relationship with God can be right so that we can avoid discipline. What motivates us to do this? What would motivate you this morning to do that? The Bible teaches us that we've all stood under God's wrath. Every single one of us in this room today, we have all stood under the wrath of God. And he has punished sin, our sin, and our offenses on the cross. And he alone avenges our hurt and pain caused at the hand of others. That's what Jesus does. And just to sum it all up, let me just say it this way. It's as easy as this. Forgiving people, they forgive people. Forgiving people forgive people, and they don't live with anger. They don't live with resentment. They don't live in the fear of tomorrow. And if we don't live this way, we're no better than the world that's lost without Christ. But as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we do not allow hate and resentment to define our lives, because when anger rules our hearts, it will ruin your life. So let me ask you this morning. What do you need to do to overcome the anger, the habit of anger in your own life? Maybe you need to consider this morning, as I did today, and I'm not an expert in this, but maybe you need to consider some of the roots of your own anger. What's causing you to be angry? What is it telling you about God? Where does God fit into all that? And then you need to confess the areas of recklessness, the areas where you're out of control with your anger, with your emotions. Commit this morning to pursuing Jesus and his love. Repent of your sins. Say, God, I am wrong. Repent and ask forgiveness of those that you've hurt, and seek forgiveness with those that have hurt you. And then do this. And this is what I do. Get help and talk to someone. It might be with a counselor. It might be with a therapist. It might be with another pastor. It might be, come see me. I don't know how much help I'll be, but I'll do my best. But get some help. Don't go through life wasting the good things that God is wanting to do in your life because you're mad and angry. With every head bowed and every eye closed, how many of you would say to me this morning, Pastor Jason, I know for a certainty that I am at peace with God. I'm right in my relationship with God. I know I'm forgiven of my sins, and I know if I were to slip out into eternity today, heaven is my home, and I can give testimony of that. Would you just lift your hand and let me see those hands this morning? I know for sure. Now, how many of you today would say to me, Pastor, I'm not certain that I'm a follower of Christ. I don't know that I'm right with God. I don't know that if I were to slip out into eternity today, that heaven is my home. Would you lift your hand and let me pray for you this morning? Is there anyone that's like that that's here today? Anyone at all? Thank you. Now, how many of you would say to me this morning, Pastor, if I'm being honest with God, being honest with myself, I do struggle with anger. I don't want to admit it. I don't want anyone to know, but I struggle with this. Would you lift your hand and just let me see that today? Amen, amen. Boy, there's hands all over the room. Would you do this for me today? Would you stand to your feet with your heads bowed and your eyes closed? Father in heaven, I know this is a real thing. There's some dads in this room that they have an anger issue. There's some moms in this room. There's some of us in this room that we are tripped up by this sin. And it's become one of those acceptable sins where it's not as bad because we haven't murdered anyone. But ultimately, God, we want to bring this before you today so that we can find grace. So that we cannot waste our life and ruin the best things that you've given to us because we struggle with this. And so, Father, I just ask you this morning that you would speak to our hearts and allow the Holy Spirit to heal what we've broken. Allow the Holy Spirit to change us from the inside out so that we might be characterized as a people of love, a people of grace, a people of forgiveness. Father, we thank you. I thank you for these that have raised their hands today, that they were just honest with themselves, honest with God. We just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Man, if God spoke to you today and you're like, hey, I'm struggling with this anger thing. Listen, it doesn't mean a number of things. And I know it's one of those messages, like next week when we talk about lust, if you come down, like everyone's going to think that you're just this horrible person. No, man, it just means that you're a broken person struggling to become the person that God wants you to be. Amen? And if God spoke to you today and you're struggling in this area of your life and you recognize, like, man, I don't like living with unrest in my soul. I don't like living without peace. I don't like being angry and frustrated all the time. Man, just come forward right now as Derek and the worship team sings this next song with us today.